The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, hey, good day, America. You're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine for intelligent people. So come be a fly on the wall with us. And by the way, intelligent people have way more fun than you suspect. Am I correct, Adora?
That's true.
People think intelligence is something else, but, you know, you'll find out more about what we're up to today. Be a fly on the wall with us because you're going to hear some really intriguing stuff. And if you'd like to ask, our guest today is actually Adora Spencer. You can hop over to her website at celebrityconnector.com and get to her webpage and see who you're talking to. And if you want to shoot me an email while we're having this conversation, I'll read your question or comment to Adora on the air. That is, if it's printable. Okay, so I'm not promising everything. A lot of stuff has happened since we put Waking Up in America together. Originally, we started in 1987. And now we've gone through a series of changes. And what seems to be happening now, and it's funny, Adora, because the energy of this week is actually patience.
Yes.
But it almost feels like the quiet before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I went to the Einstein exhibit on last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the sense of us expanding. I mean, after I had a shift between the Newtonian and Einsteinian world on Friday. Because until Friday, I thought there was a force of gravity.
Okay. Say more about that.
Well, let me tell you something interesting. We believe on Earth, here on planet Earth, Newton told us that if you drop an apple out of the tree and it falls, it is pulled to the earth by the force of gravity. So, and all this time we've been standing around, like, wondering how we're stuck to the earth and all of this kind of stuff, but it's obviously the force of gravity. So I couldn't figure out why stuff floated in outer space, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided it was an extension of the law of gravity, which Einstein would agree with me because he said, I wanted to know how Einstein looked at the universe, Adora, and he looked at it through balance. And he also looked at it through the fact that everything made sense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw that if God created the universe, it would have to be that it had balance and made sense.
Right.
So everything he weighed, he didn't look at it like it was the universe where it was going to get blown up or that there was going to be pollution or whatever. That was all stuff that was happening, right? But
right.
He's looking at this basic thing here, okay? Is it,
mm-hmm.
I need to find balance. I need to find, if there's good, then there has to be evil and vice versa. So what he also said was if we change the screen by which we look at things, good and evil actually disappears. Darth Vader has to just fade off in a puff of smoke.
Right, right.
Okay? Because if you look at it in the terms of physics, which he was looking at it in, it's simply cause and effect.
True.
And you can see how Rwanda was caused if you look at Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how the reaction to the Twin Towers has given government unprecedented power that they may never get back out of our simple fear. You can see us creating people that are now nuclear-wary people in the world, where before we were actually headed more in the other direction. And by the way, if I was president of another country, I'd probably be building a bomb right now. You know what I'm saying? Because we're causing that. So when you talk about making the connections in the universe between the important stuff, and I sit here and see you on your website, and you're on the galaxy, right?
Right.
So I have to assume that you're like some kind of intermediary or something, and I'm here for my upgrade, you know? And we can help a lot of people get upgrades into thinking that actually brings them happiness rather than pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
I agree.
So, you know, however we put that together, there's a lot of important stuff. Gail, who you heard her talking. Gail, can we mention what we're going to be doing on Friday? Gail? Oh, she's gone. So it's left in my own hands. On Friday, we're actually going to be meeting a very important person inside the satellite system.
Nice.
and we'll be, you know, whatever. I don't think we're at the stage, Adora, where what we're doing can be really deflected. It just has to be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
The relationships between people have to be allowed. Do you know what the T-shirt from the Einstein exhibit is?
What is it?
It's a theory of relativity, right? And you know what it's got on it?
What?
Family tree.
Oh, wow.
Like,
all relative.
We're all relative. We're all related.
Oh, that's great.
Is that great?
I love it. I love it.
And you know what? Most people don't get it.
I love it. It kind of has sort of a double meaning in my mind because I think we're all related and it's all relative to where you're coming from, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly, exactly, exactly. I was explaining to a friend this morning, I said, if I talk to six or seven different people, I need to be aware of six or seven different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I say to one person will not elicit the same thing, the same response, because it's not their custom.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, well, we do a lot of stuff about being planetary people and stuff like that. But the reality is that requires really fabulous sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. It requires you to be outside of your own opinion and really a true listener, a person who's paying attention to what the other person is saying and what experiences they're communicating from.
Wow.
And also, I think it also allows us to have greater growth, because if you can see the world through somebody else's lens, then it can expand the resources that you have and expand your own perspective. Don't you think so?
I totally do. And one of the things that Lisa Molson, she's actually in the air right now today, or she'd be here.
Mm-hmm.
But Lisa and I actually went to the United Nations to attend a dinner there honoring Ted Turner.
Uh-huh.
On, it was April 20th
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really, really interesting because for years I had been drawn to the UN, and I said to them, finally when I got there, I said, so what, I talked to Barbara Mueller, who was married to Robert Mueller,
mm-hmm.
who was an undersecretary of the UN for like 38 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking to her, you know, and she's thanking me for getting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told her I'd seen it in 65 and I wanted to go, and so she said, thank you for coming here and getting here. And it was like this family waiting to welcome me into the United Nations, you know?
Wow.
When you think about that, I believe that that's all we have to do is show up with peace in our heart.
It's so true.
But what the United Nations is about, I don't know if you know this or not, Adora, I asked them, I said, so what do you stand for? You know, like peace between all countries, or how does that work? What is the actual thing you'd say is your driving vision? And she said that every human being respects the other.
Oh, I like that.
That the UN is actually, I said, oh, that explains why things take so long, right? And we all cracked up. Because, you know, we want fast solutions. And there was a little man that was 75 years old, and he was all hunched over, you know,
mm-hmm.
in front of the elevator. What a sweetie. What a little sweetie. So there's always guides that come to take me where I'm going so I don't have to suffer my own humanity too much. Frank was my little guide, you know. And he'd been at the UN for, I think, 35 years, okay? And he'd been working on one project for 35 years.
Wow.
Okay? That was his project, you know?
Wow.
Can you imagine saying, sure, I'll work on a project. How long is it? You go 35 years. I don't think so.
My goodness, right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who would do that?
I know.
Well, who would do that? Are a number of people that are the United Nations, and they see that peace is not something that happens overnight. And we've actually done a lot of stuff to bring awareness to the things that we do that disturb the peace. We've done a lot to disturb the peace, you know, in recent years. But disturbing the peace isn't always a bad thing, Adora. Because if you disturb the peace, then you can take it to a more powerful level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of when people are in their comfort zone, it may be peaceful, but it's not always the best thing for the total group.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I don't know if you know who our listener is, but our listener is really interesting people. Most of them are college educated. Some
mm-hmm.
of them are from other planets, so they don't talk about it much. they're frequently businessmen and women.
Mm-hmm.
They like to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
they're older.
Mm-hmm.
They've done some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little space and a little wisdom.
That's great.
Occasionally we'll get a young person, like a really brilliant young person.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's inspiring too. It's just interesting how it works. And then other people kind of trip across us accidentally and enjoy us tremendously. So that's the listening audience. And you can speak to all of them because they're really engaging in transformation wherever they're standing.
That's wonderful.
Have you ever seen the shows, the extreme makeover shows?
Yes, I have seen a couple of them.
Well, they have one now in a trailer park.
Really?
Yes. And it was, like, so interesting to watch the community, because it was something the community could actually afford.
Mm-hmm.
The community could afford to give the woman her dream, which was her dream trailer were her 6 children and her husband. And
wow.
They took the husband and her to Hollywood, and they wined him and dined him and gave him breakfast in bed. And then they get all their kids had rooms and they've been sleeping on the couch and stuff. So it doesn't matter where you're standing. Sometimes if we reach over to somebody next to us and do something that for us that looks small, for them it could be huge, you know?
Oh, so true. That's so, so true. Truer, that has rang really, really true in my life. Really, things that people did for me over the years that they had no idea, you know, was a nugget that I was hanging on to,
you know,
to get to the next level. So it's so true. You never know what impact you are having when you decide to reach out to someone. I agree with you.
Well, I'm going to give Nicole Rhodes, I haven't talked to Nicole probably in 4 or 5 years, this incredibly beautiful, absolutely amazing organizer.
Wow.
Decided that she was going to come over to my house
mm-hmm.
in the 1980s.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get everything filed.
Mm-hmm.
She brought her sleeping bag. And she stayed at my house for 24 hours almost. This is a gift. I couldn't pay her nothing.
Mm.
This was something that she... And then she gave me this beautiful crystal to keep God in my office space type of thing.
Wow.
That's Nicole Rhodes. And Nicole Rhodes, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, what you did that night made a huge difference in my life.
Wow.
So, Adora, how did you get started on all of this? And, you know, what do you do with it?
Oh, connection, self-development.
Yeah.
Well, it's really pretty funny. The connection part, I think some of us are just... You know, some people are born building things. Some people are born tearing them down. Some people are born connecting. I always, my earliest memories, I think I was in second grade and heard about pollution and recycling, and so I connected a group of people together so that we could petition for recycling bins on our Air Force base and in our schools. And I don't know that for me it was really even about, part of it was the bigger mission, but I think what I really got out of it was seeing people, it was fun bringing people together for some big important cause, and I just have always enjoyed working with other people, you know, group efforts, team efforts, and sometimes it hasn't even been for the end result. As I've gotten older, I've learned to really follow through and get an end result that works, or else no one on the team is happy very long. If they're promising an end result, but it's really just about playing together, eventually they figure it out. And if they signed up for the end result, they're not happy campers. So that pain of too many, you know, just play together in the name of a cause, but that brought on a new level of evolution for me in my, you know, past 6 or 7 years, which is, okay, now let's follow through and create the result we're talking about. So I've always loved to bring people together. I really enjoy it.
So I'm just looking on your website to see what it says about you.
Yeah, and self-development, I'd love to say a little bit about that.
I'd love to hear you say that.
Yeah, when I was 17 years old, I grew up, my family, we grew up on welfare and moved so many times, and there was a lot of just things in our family that came with just generations of poverty, you know, poverty-style living. And so when I was about 17 years old, I was living in a shack with no electricity, no heat, no anything like that. And I've been living on my own or with friends since the age of about 15. And I remember someone had given me a tape by Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn, it was a networking company they wanted to get me into. And in that tape, Jim Rohn said, you know what, it doesn't matter where you are, we're all sort of on a sailboat, if you will. And you've probably heard him tell this story, but it's pretty popular from him. But he said, we're on a sailboat and we're all sailing in a direction. Whether you think it or not, you're headed towards some destiny. And he said, if you're aware of that and you do not like the destiny you're headed toward, and I didn't like mine, he said, all you have to do is set the sail of your sailboat into a new direction. And as long as you keep sailing in that direction, it doesn't matter where you are, you will eventually arrive there. And whenever he said that, I just really, really believed him. And to me, it was like Jim Rohn was speaking personally to me. He was saying, Adora, it doesn't matter that you don't have electricity, that you don't have heat, that you really don't have much of an education, and you surely don't know where you're going. It's a new destiny, and you can be there. And so... So I decided in that moment that I wanted to be like Jim Rohn. I wanted to become extremely wealthy, and I wanted to share. And wealth for me was important because it hadn't been done in my family. You know, so I wanted to become wealthy and successful, and that's another thing that's relative. If you grew up on welfare, my first level of wealth of, you know, making $4,500 a month was pretty significant, you know, as a teenager. Right. So I wanted to be successful, and then I wanted to share that with everybody that I possibly could. Anyone who wanted to go to the next level or wanted to achieve something that didn't seem natural for them, given their background or given their thoughts about themselves or whatever the reason, I knew I just wanted to be like Jim Rohn. And so I read 75 books that year. And I started implementing all the things that I was learning through these audio programs and books, and I really got pretty addicted and obsessive with developing myself, because I learned that every time I applied something, I got a result. I had painless, totally painless childbirths with a book that taught me how to condition my mind.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's
a mother clapping, not Tinkerbell, a mother.
That's awesome. $14.95 is probably what I paid for that book.
Yeah, is that something when you can trade $14.95 for no birth pain?
Come on. Yeah, so things like that got me really, really fascinated with self-development, achievement, transformation, thoughts, reality, spirituality, every type of philosophy that I could possibly get my heart and mind involved in, I did, and I still do. I still do. And so now that is what I'm doing. I'm speaking, teaching, training. I've been able to accomplish a lot of things without a formal education. I know a lot of your listeners do have a college education. Without a college education, I used my self-education to become a producer for Pat Summerall Productions. And there I got to interview CEOs of very prominent companies, including a lot of Fortune 100 companies, and that's where I got my ability to reach any leader on the planet. You know, I learned what makes them tick, how do I speak to them, what's going to get their attention, and really what it still comes down to is serving first. You know, how can I assist, how can I serve, how can I use the resources that I have to further along what you're up to, and that skill has put me in front of people that most people network their whole lives for. And, you know, here I am. I'm about to turn 27. I've been on this path for 10 years, and I've been able to achieve things that any one thing most people would work their, not most people, but some people would work their whole life for. Right.
A lot of people.
Right. And I say that to brag on the power of human potential and the power of self-development. you know, listening to programs like this, being around great people. And sometimes when you're starting, it's hard to find great people to get around. And the easiest, quickest access are things like your radio station, where you're bringing people to share their opinions and their philosophies and their perspectives. And so that has an energetic transfer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, I heard a long time ago that radio waves are actually heard in the universe for like hundreds of years. They don't end in the universe, you know. So it's really wonderful to be kind. In my mind, I don't talk about it much because I think spirituality is the thing you are.
Yes.
You know, but in my mind, this is the space for God. So is the UN to me, you know.
Yes.
I interviewed two undersecretaries of the UN here on Waking Up in America. One of them was Sotiris Mazurias from the Greek undersecretary, and then also Noel Brown, okay, who has since retired, and he was in charge of the environment of the North American continent. No small title, right? And, you know, those guys, I asked both of them, aside from the other things that we talked about, and they both said the same thing, and I didn't coach them. I said, the man or woman who is picked to be the Secretary General of the United Nations, what is the quality you pick them for? What would you guess?
Desire, maybe?
In a way, you'll see you're right. But it's like, it's something that makes desire even possible. They both said that he was picked for his ability to listen.
Wow.
And then in his listening, countries healed. Okay, so far it's been a man all the time, you know. I would imagine the women are just as good as that. But that's the characteristic that's being sought after. The ability to listen. And it's like, it's really hard to listen without putting your own stuff in it, because we're always, you say something and I go, oh yeah, I had a chance like that once, right?
Right.
All this is going on in the background, and the ability to just cleanly listen requires that we are complete with our past.
Mm-hmm.
So that Adora speaks, or Val speaks, or Pete speaks, or George, or whatever, and you actually get to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with all the corpuscles of your body, you get to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
The true relationship you get to experience. And what you hear is only a fraction of what's going on.
That's so true.
So when you work with leaders, do you get into the, what are some of the secrets of talking to people? You mentioned one already, which was the bringing your resources to assist them.
Yes, and I think before that is exactly what you're talking about. It's listening, asking quality questions, and then listening. And if you're not getting to talk with them directly yet, find research. Look on their website, talk to the people that they are talking to, and listen. And then when you're listening, if you're actually in front of a person who is someone that you consider to be a leader, then the next thing is identifying what their passions are, and not just what they say their passions are, but what their passions actually are, because sometimes we don't even know. And one of my friends, Greg Reed, he busted me on this pretty well, because he was mentoring me about my speaking career, and he said, Adora, well, what is it that you want to do? And I said, you know, I just want to empower women. I want to really help women around the world. And he was like, okay, that's nice. Now, what else? Let's talk about what do you like to do in your spare time? And anyway, as I started talking, there was a point when I got really excited about connecting people and connecting with leaders, and my voice was speeding up, and I was probably pacing all over the house. And he said, Adora, now we've hit your passion. He said, I know you said you want to empower people, but it's crap. And he said, maybe you do want to empower them, but the way you empower them is to be more of yourself. Just be you, and that empowers other people. And he said, a lot of times we give answers based on what we think we should say.
Oh,
and
right.
Right? Not just what, and not based on who we are, truly. And so that's one of the things that I teach, is how do you identify a person's passions. And some of the ways that I use to do that, I got from a friend, Dr. DeMartini, or it's one of the simplest ways to say it, is you know, notice when does a person's voice speed up? What are they talking about when it speeds up? If they're a very calm person, notice what they're talking about the most. What do they spend their time on? That's another one of those things where people will work and work and work, and then they'll apologize and beat themselves up for working so many hours, when the truth is that they love it, or they wouldn't be doing it. There's something that they're getting out of it. There's something about work that they love, but they haven't come to terms with it's okay to love work. You know, it's okay to love it. And so you say, what are they spending their time in an art studio? Are they spending their time meditating? Are they spending their time talking with people, relaxing, working with their children? What do they spend their money on? Books, tapes, seminars, dance costumes, biking equipment. What are they investing their money in? What are they filling their space with? Are there toys everywhere? That's an indicator that they really love children. You know, is there educational products? Is there a lot of women clothing and shoes and things like that? Is it spiritual knowledge, spiritual art? You know, and when you can kind of observe what a person is really passionate about, then you're listening to them. Like you said, it's a deeper type of listening, and it's a deeper type of research, because you're saying, you're important to me. You know, you're important to me. Who are you as a person, and what do you care about? And then you're more able to bring the resources that they're going to care about to the table. So then you can just connect your resources. Who else do you know that has some things in common?
Well, you know, it's very funny what you're talking about, because I took an acting class at UCLA many years ago. And
Wow. If
you had you could have the opportunity to actually act six scenes if you would just meet people and then agree. You had to do it all the first night.
Mm-hmm.
But the maximum number of scenes you could do was six, and I wanted to do six because I wanted the most experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do you pick six people, right? Well, one of the things that I did, which became invaluable during the time that I was acting, was that the reason I could get six people was that I was willing to go to their houses when they didn't have time to go to somebody else's house. So a couple came to mind, but I went to four.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, going to their homes and really seeing them and talking to them in their environment, it gave us light years of communications and connections. And that's one of the things. For instance, George on the radio team has been here, and I'm wondering, George, are you here now?
I sure am.
And you're responsible for getting the celebrity connector.
And I will tell you that Adora in person absolutely exemplifies her name.
Aww.
Because to meet her is to adore her.
Oh.
She was stuck going down the airwaves for hundreds of years, Adora. And also,
thank you.
I told you about Cherie Ross, who does the essential oils.
Yes.
And I bet she's here.
Yes, she is.
Off the road.
Hey. Yeah, she's here.
If you were visualizing Cherie, you would have to find her in an airplane, on a horse, in a car, in front of a classroom, or on the move, okay?
Nice.
Did I mention any of the things you're doing?
The essential oils?
Yeah, she does essential oils, so she'll be talking about that. Actually, if George or Cherie have anything they want to ask Adora here, this would be a good time to ask her, and it'd be also a good time to send listeners to her website at Adora@celebrity. You can email her at Adora@celebrityconnector.com, and you can go to her website and see what she looks like. She's a really powerful lady. Is there any questions you have, George or Cherie?
Adora?
Yes.
The question that I have is, when did you become confident that you could accomplish anything that you set your mind out to do?
That's a great question. I think that every day I try to grow that belief, but probably the time that it hit me the most was whenever I worked with Pat Summerall Productions, and I was learning a whole new skill set, and I went in there and said, you know what, I am not sure how to to do this, but I'm just going to listen to what they say, and I'm going to be the source of this. And in that environment, there were about 30 other producers. We were all supposed to produce at least one program a month, and most of the producers were not doing that. And I just went in there and I said, it doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to apply all the information that I've learned over the years. I'm going to source it, and I'm going to make sure that I'm producing way above average. And I wanted to be the top female or the top producer that they had. And we didn't have a quota the first month, and I came out of the gate with 3 deals the first month, and then regularly produced 4 or 5 deals a month after that. And it was totally because I made my mind up to do that. And after that, I just went, okay, it's always my own choice. It's always just choosing and then letting there be no other options.
The quiet you're hearing is stunned silence, okay? You're a powerful lady. You're a very, very powerful lady with what you've been up to and what you've done. And how old were you at that time?
23.
All righty. Cherie Ross, do you have any comments you'd like to ask of this lady before we say goodbye to her?
Yes, I do. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. The question that I have is, what advice would you give to someone who is feeling that their life is futile and who really doesn't have a lot of resources at their fingertips? And that's where you started from. And say they don't have the privilege of running into Jim Rohn, or, and I don't know, a lot of people know who Pat Summerall is, but he's a wonderful man. And so, what advice would you give to those people of how to start to get themselves on the right track for them?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. Well, the first thing that I would say is that no person's life is futile. Usually the only reason we think that it is we are comparing ourselves to some ideal that either someone else has for us or someone that we're putting on a pedestal. And so we've got our eyes so focused on them that we can't even see the gift and the beauty and what God has given us as an individual. So I just want to dismantle that lie early on. It's not true. And the second thing is, I didn't have resources. Like you said, when I first started, I went around and I begged people to be my mentor, but there weren't very many people who saw it as worth their time. You know, I was a pretty flighty young lady all over the map, and there weren't people that just really, the mentors that I have now are not the mentors I had then. Everyone's on your team once you've accomplished some things. So what I did is I heard Mike Murdoch say that a person spends 80 years of their life or 30 years of their life or 26 years of their life and their experiences researching, learning, bleeding to get some knowledge and some wisdom, and then they put it into a book or an audio program for $14, $20, $1,000, and you and I have the opportunity to be with anybody we want to be. There's libraries everywhere. There's audio books at the libraries. There's internet programs like this. There's all kinds of training. And what I would say is pour as much of your time and attention into reading those books, listening to the audios in your car. Just pour it in, and then muster up the faith that you can to apply what you're learning. And one of the first programs I would get is look for something that helps you figure out what your purpose is, figure out what your why is. So
good.
I could go on and on about that.
We just actually got a question from a listener in Studio City.
Okay.
The question is, so who finally took you on?
Well, the first person that took me on, I believe, I had different people in high school take me on, but when I was 17, I joined an opportunity. It was a networking opportunity called Herbalife, and there was a lady there who was my upline, Rose Cade, and and I didn't have the money to make a $4,000 purchase, so what I did is I went out and did sales every day, and then I drove to Mineola, which was 2 hours away, every day, and I hit that goal of $4,000 in the first month, and so it got her attention, and so she started coaching me and giving me other audio programs and tape programs and things like that.
Well, you know, Tony Robbins has a similar story.
Yes!
So it's really, if people have the illusion, I'm sure it happens, you know, every 100 years just to make a liar out of us, but if you have the illusion that you're going to be tapped on the shoulder like Marilyn Monroe was at Schwab's, you could be, but the odds are not in this lifetime.
Right, and the biggest tip that I, that's so true, you're telling the truth, the biggest tip that I have for getting someone to take you on is, and I learned this from audio tapes, is go find out a way that you can serve that person. No matter what, can I help you with your paperwork? Can
you
I run
it? And that's now you found my secret.
Yeah.
That's how I get all these great guests.
And Val and Adora, this is George.
Wait a minute, George. Just what I want you to get is that our guests are great people, and we could contact any of them, and George too, like Dennis Weaver. That's
mm-hmm.
why they come on this show, because we can actually do that for them. So we can actually take these great people that you know, and we can put their projects out, and we'd be happy to do that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And now it's George.
Yes, and just to underscore, what is that old adage, God helps him who helps himself?
Exactly.
And it is that small step that folks can take. Are they reaching out to learn something new? A CD doesn't cost much. You can borrow it from somebody. A book doesn't cost much. You can check it out of the library. It is the information that you take in that helps you take the next step. And there's a fellow that I know locally who now runs a series of shoeshine stands. But he started out going to work for an old gentleman, and he said, teach me everything you know about making shoes that shine the best. So he just went to work right at the bottom, and he earned money, and then he was able to rent his own equipment, and then he started with one, got someone else in to run that one, and just kept building on that. And he said, I didn't start out with the idea that I would run an empire. I started out with the idea that I had to learn something. And he learned something each step of the way, and that informed, that guided his next step. So the first step is the one that's most important.
Who is he, George, you know? I mean, what did he, is he like a big shoe magnet to this day or something, or where did it take him?
No, he has a series of shoe shine stands in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So he is an independent business person.
That's absolutely perfect. I love it.
And last thing I want to add is that anyone, especially the lady submitted the question about getting someone to take you, anyone who would like, I would love to mentor anyone who's listening to your show right now via email. And if you would like some mentoring or some coaching, and I get paid $5,000 an hour to do coaching and consulting and connecting, but I am happy to assist people that want to be assisted, and there's probably something for me to learn too. Anyway, adora@celebrityconnector.com. If you'll send me an email there, I will be happy to begin consulting with you.
Wow. That's about as generous as it gets. So, Cherie, guess what? You can talk to us. What essential oil would support all of this amazing energy?
Well, the oil that I'm thinking of is called Highest Potential.
Perfect. I knew you had one.
Yeah. And the reason why is, first of all, it has Australian blue cypress oil in it, which is the sacred oil of the Aboriginal culture. And it is known as the oil of working with energy. It is the oil that brings out the best in you, regardless of how you feel about yourself. It transcends your own personal feelings and your own personal misperceptions about yourself. And it literally assists you and your life in showing up differently. All you have to do is be willing to allow your thoughts to be changed. And it sounds crazy. It sounds like, oh, that's not possible. Well, you know what? I used to say I invite you to prove me wrong because nobody ever has. But now I'm going to say I invite you to prove me right because your life will change dramatically. And they've got frankincense and a number of other oils that have been used all through history with assisting people, not only with physical situations, but also the emotional and the spiritual situations. Like Adora said, find out what your passion is. What is your purpose? Why are you here? What's your why? And when you find that out, I don't know if you've ever heard of anybody hear it put like that before, but finding what your why is significant, because when you find out what your why is, all of a sudden there's an enormous amount of energy that's available to you. And the right people in the right situations are attracted to that magnetic energy, much like, a little insect is to a light. And you just attract the most wonderful situations to move your life forward. High potential will do that for you. We've had many situations where we've used it on dogs who have gone into competition, and they are dogs that were not favored to win, and they've won because all of a sudden they were performing differently. A number of people, hockey teams, you name it, where we've had people that have gone into situations where they thought was bigger than what they were, and they come out on top of them. So it's a fun oil to play with. It's called Highest Potential. And I invite you to play around with it. And the price is very, very reasonable, and all you need to do is either smell it so it gets into your brain through your nose, or you can put it on your forehead. I wear it on my shoulders every day so that I remind myself that we are all wonderful, tremendously valuable people, and we are all here to help and support each other.
Name the price. What is it, actually?
I think it's under $30.
That's what I thought. You know, it's like when we say something doesn't cost much, some of these oils cost about like 18, 10, 12.
Yeah. Yep.
And when you understand that emotions are biochemical,
yes.
The moment you put a drop of something else into an emotion, you can actually alter it to another emotion, and that you can have your own little care kit of these things.
Well,
and
you know,
we've got a biochemist on the show that will tell you about it. Am I correct, Cherie?
What is interesting is, for example, I'm down here in Texas working at a spiritual retreat. I come down twice a year to work at a very powerful international.
Your cell phone's warbling just a bit, kiddo.
Oh, sorry. And they've asked me to bring in the essential oils because people have a much more rich experience at this retreat. And one of the women I just finished working with had a heart attack in 1993. And her heart actually stopped for 5 minutes, and they couldn't get it started again for 5 minutes. And so what happened was her body was finally ready to release the trauma, which her blood pressure started to go up, and it was not responding to anything. It was not responding to medication. It was responding to absolutely nothing. And they said, well, let's try the oils and see what we can do. Well, sure enough, when we started to work with the oils, what happened was the memory in the cell, the body was ready to release the trauma of the heart attack and everything that had gone along with that. And she literally said she saw it. She said, you know what, if I hadn't experienced this for myself, I wouldn't have believed it. We just put some oils on her. Helichrysum oil is one, an oil called Trauma Life, Grounding, Release, another few oils, all designed to have the biochemistry of to match the body what it needs to do. And she said she literally felt the trauma releasing through her body. And I didn't even say, we don't speak when we do this. It's all done in silence. But she knew exactly what we were doing without even talking about it beforehand or afterwards. I found out this afterwards. So that is another aspect that the oils can help you. And then the third area is, I had a request from someone to,
we have 1 minute,
to quickly just talk about the hepatitis that's been mentioned in the New York Times. And yes, the oils have been proven through much research to actually get the hepatitis out of the body without the harmful side effects. So if you'd like to learn more about how these powerful oils can work, give us a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99. Or heavenincorporatedallspelledout.com, or you can email me at cherie@young-living.net. There you go.
You got it. And toll-free 866-RADIO-99. Give her a call in case you missed that. And what are you still on, Adora?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we've got to get George on, but if you wanted to give Cherie a one-line comment on what you just heard from her, because I heard you reacting to her.
Oh, I believe so much in what you're saying. Aromatherapy and the way that that affects your emotional state and just your overall sense of yourself is, I use aromatherapy and I love it. I love it, and I'm excited about the product that you mentioned, Highest Potential. It sounds great, and I think the more modalities you can use to get yourself in that heightened state, the better.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Thanks for the comment. And George, is our true leader ready to truly lead?
Yes, I am.
You am?
And today's segment is about living leadership. And I needed to tell you about a great experience that I had last night. The context: I am involved in creating a leadership institute for Rotary International in North Texas. The team leader of this organization, of the team that's building the Leadership Institute, is the CEO of a highly successful commercial construction company that's been growing very rapidly over the past 5 years. So he is immensely successful. He just got back from a 5-day leadership academy with Tony Robbins in San Diego. And he came back a transformed person. He said, I realized that I was so caught up in grappling with the growth of my business that I had lost touch with who I was and what it is that I really do well. And he said, I can't even wait to tell you about the academy, but let me give you a quick summary of what he talked about, because he brought back 8 essentials for team synergy. And this came from a woman by the name of Robin Benin Kassa, who competes in the Echo Challenge Tours. Those are the 7 to 10 day competitions in different places in the world where they travel 40 to 50 miles a day in teams of 4, 3 men and a woman. And she was talking about the 8 essentials for team synergy. The first one is total commitment. The team has to be fully committed to the goal right from the starting line. Second, empathy and awareness for team members. It isn't a focus on self, it's a focus on others. Third, adversity management. As she said, you got to have splatter control, because stuff will happen that's unplanned for, unanticipated, and you cannot let those adversity things get in your way. The fourth is mutual respect. And the mutual respect, she said, we must be curious about another person's point of view. And I was struck by Adora's comment about when we really work to see the world through someone else's eyes and do that repeatedly, our own perspective broadens and changes. So she said, be curious, be caring of others, be respectful of who they are and where they're coming from. The fifth one is we thinking. Too often we think about I, we think about you, but we is how are we together making this happen? And on their tours, on their challenges, they have to stay within 100 yards of each other. They have to cross the line together. They are together in a way that we just can't imagine. But she said when we really think we thinking, it leads us to see a job, do a job, and to mentor unselfishly. We're always sharing our wisdom, our perspective for the benefit of others. And I was struck by Adora's comment about the importance of having mentors, being a mentor. Number 6, ownership of the project. Each team member needs to be in a role that really matters for the overall success of the team. It isn't the leader having the most responsibility. It isn't a couple of people having most of the responsibility. It's each person on the role has to have a mission-critical contribution to the team. That's how we really get ownership of the project. The 7th, she called it relinquishing of ego, and I call it letting go the ego. We have to let go the ego because, as a famous person once said, when ego marries ignorance, arrogance is born. And we really need to subjugate our egos for the success of the team. And finally, kinetic leadership. Leadership is about moving with the people, not necessarily being out front. And Robin shared the story that the U.S. team had never finished even close to first in any of the challenges, and she had been doing it since 1985. And they recruited a new leader, and the new leader came in, and he made three small changes. And here were the changes. First, he said, I am not going to lead from the front. That's the navigator's job. I'm not a good navigator. I will lead from the back of the line, which means he was putting himself last. Secondly, he said, instead of carrying your own stuff in your backpack, the person ahead of you will carry your backpack. So you don't have to stop and unload to get what you need. All you need to do is take a half step forward and take out of your backpack what you need. And then thirdly, he said, I am here to serve, so I will carry the navigator's backpack. And navigator, as soon as you need something, just let me know, and I will run up to you and allow you to get into your backpack, which I'll be carrying. And that year, the U.S. team won, and they won going away. He emphasized leadership is about service to others, about caring for others. It's about attending to everybody's needs, not focused on the leader. So these eight essentials for team synergy, well, our leader brought them back, and you could tell by his conversation with us that he was so changed and so passionate about it. And he said, isn't that what we're about? Because through this Leadership Institute, we are going to create for the participants an outstanding transformational experience so that when they conclude the Institute, that they will go back into their world and they will change the way in which they appear in their companies. They will change the way in which they appear in their families. They will change the way in which they appear in their communities, because they will have experienced something that gets us out of our limiting thinking. And it is the limiting thinking that he was so impressed with, Tony Robbins, and that Leadership Academy, because he said, we set limits on ourselves by the way we think, by what we think, and by what we say. And he said, when we really understand that there are no limits, it allows us to go from wherever we are up a level and make that much more of a difference in the world.
Right on, George.
So my living leadership was, am I living my passion every day? And I came in to make some connections this morning with people, and I know that my energy level, my interest in them, my attention to asking and listening has ignited a different response than I was getting last week. So every day, as you are planning what you do, plan to be around people who are uplifting, plan to get stuff into your head that is positive, not negative. You know, we don't really need to watch the news because we know what they're going to tell us. That's time that you can actually be spending reading, listening, talking to people who are about making a difference in a positive way in other people's lives.
How are they going to get a copy of your list, George?
The list, if folks just give me a call, toll-free at 877-321-4TLC. That's 877-321-4852. I'll be happy to email you that, or you can send us an email at heavenincorporated.com.
Oh, that is so good. I'm telling you, you can see why I enjoy doing what I do, Adora, and one of the things that really struck me, George, was when you said, when ego marries ignorance, arrogance is born.
Oh, I love that.
That is a good one. And I was thinking about our listener. You know, as you've heard quite a bit today, we've given you a lot of information. We've done a lot of playing, but what about you? Where are you in all of this? Is this like too much, too big a job to take on? Where do you fit in all of this? I think if you once take a look and see what you're really turned on about, no job gets too big. I was talking with Bernie Carl this morning, who actually stepped in and took over Chena Hot Springs from the state of Alaska for a very reasonable fee and has been busy putting together a really eco-friendly situation up at Chena. Chena is where the Northern Lights dance, and Chena is where they're doing 165 projects that are related to the University of Alaska that have to do with ecology. And not only does Bernie like ecology, he's also extremely mechanical, and he's also extremely creative. They've actually, using the thermal hot springs to run the air conditioners backwards, so the, all kinds of stuff. They've created an ice hotel up there. They've created a lot of great places for us to visit. And in October, a lot of our U.S. government is going to be taking a trip back there, and some of us from Waking Up in America will be going and joining Bernie and the government people as they take a look at China and see how we can bring it into life. It's said that the hydrogen economy will be with us in 50 years. To get to the hydrogen economy, we've got some waking up to do and some things to put into action, because like old Frank at the UN, it takes 35 years sometimes to get the job done. Just remember that and be willing to have it be your life. You know, that's one of the things that we're doing here. I'm willing to have my life be about the best ways of getting there, and hydrogen is sure one I like, and that's, I already sent you an email, hot dog, and that means you, Adora.
I didn't get that.
Well, I popped you an email.
Oh,
and it didn't come in yet?
Hydrogen. Yes, I did get the email that you're in, and we're going to begin consulting together.
How is that for effective fastness?
I love it. You're Action Jackson.
You bet. All right. So, this program has actually been produced by the Kirkgaard Media Group, and we're associated with Heaven Incorporated. And we have our radio partners, ConingCompany.com and Radio Classrooms of America. And if it wasn't for Dr. James Murphy, I don't think we'd be doing as well as we did. He gave us a nice little stipend in the beginning to get Waking Up in America back on the air again. Our chief technical officer is Pete Laubach, and he makes wonderful things happen. We have a website master who's Maureen O'Crean. You missed a couple of Keaton members today who are on the move, and they'll be back. One of them is Lisa Molson, and the other one is the Diva. Also, we had the privilege of having Bent Mygen write theme music called Almost Ordinary People, and that's what I'm talking to you about. Because we're almost ordinary people, but we have extraordinary dreams, and we thank Voice America, who gives us the space and talent to create the show week after week. And thank you, Chris, our announcer. And check our website for stations in your area. And, you know, what can I tell you? Just do it.
Thank you, Val, for putting this all together.
All right, and Adora, you stick around, because I want to ask you something, okay?
Okay.
You've been waiting at the door.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.